When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy, what day is it today? It's Friday. Happy Friday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in. Oh, yeah, no, there you get to see the rest of the room. Coming up on the show today, it's Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. We will look at that. And then it's Football Friday, which is why I should have known what day it is. We will look at what is going on in the Canadian Football League. But first, let's get right into some Stanley Cup Final talk. It is Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers, and this should be fun. That Edmonton crowd is going to be electric, and so because of that, the start of this game is going to be so important for both of these teams. I don't think there's going to be taking the crowd out of it in this game necessarily, given the momentum that Edmonton has, but there is certainly going to be getting them more involved if Edmonton can get going. So that's going to be key for the Florida Panthers this evening. For Edmonton, McDavid is cementing his all-time status with this run. Even if it ends in Game 6, this has been incredible. Basically, no one has scored more points in the postseason than him, aside from Gretzky and Lemieux. That's some pretty incredible territory. And when they show that freeze frame image of McDavid going 1-on-4, and oh, by the way, this is an Edmonton goal coming out of this. It is remarkable what he is doing. If he can win this game, then he really gets into some rarefied air in the NHL pantheon, even just to force a Game 7 after coming back from 3-0 down is just remarkable. There is only so much you can say about this guy, just how talented he is. And even if you are the hardest of Oilers haters, I think you have to stop and appreciate what we are seeing with this guy. It's a level that I got to watching LeBron play. It's a level I got to watching Tom Brady play, Tiger Woods. You have to, at some point, just appreciate the greatness that you are witnessing. Even if you want to cheer against the logo on the jersey, man, because this is... it's special what he is doing. One of the big keys for Edmonton that has got them here has been the play of Stuart Skinner. And again, I know the goalie played well in in-depth hockey analysis here, but the timely saves that he is making have been so important. We talked about this coming out of Game 4, where it's 2-1. Florida has just scored to get back into it, and Bennett throws a pass across for Hagee, is robbed by Skinner. And then Game 5, he makes an excellent save early on to keep them in that game. Not keep them in that game, but to keep the momentum on their side and stop that Florida crowd from going insane. And then what happens, happens. He has been really, really good. And if they do the impossible and they come all the way back, he isn't going to get as many headlines as I think he deserves, because he has been excellent. And the team's been getting contributions from all over the place. It hasn't just been Skinner, and it hasn't just been McDavid. I love how the depth has come to play in the last couple of games. Brown has really turned around the perception of him. You think back to where it was at the beginning of the season, where Oilers fans were pissed that he was playing because it meant that there was a roster bonus that was going to go against them next season. And now he has been so impactful in this cup final, especially on the penalty kill. Janmark has been a tone setter the last couple of games. Those guys, I think, have been key in kind of keeping that ball rolling. Draisaitl said through the media that he needs to be better in this game tonight. And I would agree with him that if Edmonton is really going to do this, they do need that guy to step up. We will see what he is able to do tonight. But we said before, the start is so important. An early goal might be enough. The home crowd is going to be incredible. We know what Edmonton can do defensively, or at least puck possession wise. So that early goal is going to be huge. On the Panthers side, they are going to need Sergei Bobrovsky to step up in a big time way this week. In this game. They have not been able to get a very good performance out of him. He has been bad Bob the last couple of games. They need him at least to be the best goalie in this game. Maybe even the second best player in this game behind Connor McDavid. You look at how this series has gone. Edmonton, I would say, if we were doing boxing scoring or MMA scoring, Edmonton's up 4-1, I would say, in this, in how they have outplayed them. Now, 1-3 are close enough that it's, well, maybe not. But obviously the last two have been very much in Edmonton's favor. Game two was very much in Florida's favor. Games 1 and 3, I think, were pretty close. But I would give the edge to Edmonton. The edge in those games, at least in the first couple, Sergei Bobrovsky. He has not been that game stealer now. They need him to be a difference maker here in game six. And they also need Matthew Tkachuk to step up. The team winning without him, or winning while he was struggling, was a nice luxury that now they cannot afford. They need him to have an impact in this game, and not just after the whistle. He has to be someone who is dictating. He has to be someone who is controlling the play out there. He needs to be someone who is stepping up in a big-time way, allowing the Florida Panthers to kind of control how this game is going on. That save he made is an all-timer. You need that level of effort. Even though McDavid scored right after, you need that level of effort for 60 minutes tonight if the Florida Panthers are going to be able to hoist that big shiny thing at the end of this. It's such an interesting game. It's so intriguing because now, like, you watch these last couple of games, I can't even fathom how the Oilers lose this hockey game. But I can't wrap my head around a team blowing a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final and eventually, like, losing it. So it's such a fun matchup going into things tonight. Let's shift over now to the Canadian Football League. It's a Football Friday, and we will start with a Thursday night recap of an ass-kicking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was dominant. The Montreal Alouettes whoop that ass over the Ottawa Red Blacks. A bunch to not enough. The final score. That was a statement made by the Alouettes. And we'll get to the opposition in a second. But Montreal dominated every aspect of that game from start to finish. They are really cementing themselves as a top team, or as the top team in this league. And I get that the Grey Cup win last year was supposed to be that. I think we all kind of understand, we're all adults here, that being the best team in the league and winning a tournament at the end of the season aren't always necessarily the same thing. But obviously being the best team helps with those. And from a Montreal standpoint, I don't think you watched last season and then once the Grey Cup is done, it's like, oh, well, I guess Montreal was the best team. But everything does build toward that Grey Cup. And so that's why I don't. This leads to a larger discussion I'm not ready to have today. The point being, Montreal has taken, as I said, by the way, Montreal has taken that championship win and taken that confidence, that championship mentality, and brought it into this season, and they are just beating teams over the head. It has been fun to watch, and the real fun has been with this team on offense, as someone apparently is sawing something next door. Cody Fajardo with Philpott and with Janarian Grant have been just so damn good. It has been a real treat to watch what these guys have done over the first couple of weeks of this season. I marvel at these guys because they can kind of do it all, right? Like, if you want to have someone go over the top, sorry, Julian Grant, I think I said Janarian Grant, who I think is a basketball player, Julian Grant. But if you want someone over the top, both those guys can do it. If you need something underneath, Philpott was great in extending drives last night. He can do it, so can Julian Grant. Both those guys are just such weapons. And the way Fajardo is pushing the ball down the field and really kind of matriculating things as well, like, they're just, that they are a complete offense. You mix in Fletcher and the other guys out of the backfield. You had White coming up with some big plays last night as well. All of it was just so good. That offense, when it's clicking, it's really tough to stop. And then the defense was getting after it. against Ottawa. They completely swarmed the Red Blacks, causing turnover after turnover after turnover, dominance after dominant after dominant play. Just game changers all over. Beverett at the end had like 18 fumble recoveries and two interceptions. You had pressure. Sankey was in there punching balls out and helping to recover as well. It was just a complete performance from Montreal. As I've said before, Ottawa has improved. That was bad. Their secondary was really, really exposed. And now every team that plays Ottawa, at least for the first little bit, it's just going to be go, 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 go. Deep, 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 deep all the time. Because this secondary, for a year and two games now, has shown that they can't do anything with that. There are real issues that were exposed there. This offense, I still think can be interesting. I still think there's a lot to like about Brown. But that first interception was what we talked about here. He was staring that guy down, just staring at him. Okay, I'm going to throw. Well, obviously the defender is latched on and you have Beverett come down because, well, this is where the football's going, and it gets tipped, it gets intercepted, and that really starts the ball rolling. There are a lot of things to like about Brown, but he has a lot of things that he needs to figure out, and being a bit more disciplined with his eyeballs is certainly one of them. But it was really like an MMA fight where you have, it's like the boxer versus grappler thing, and the wrestler is just stuck on him, grinding away, looking for the takedowns. You don't have that weapon to like jab and circle or to pivot away or do anything to stop that momentum. They just could not stop Montreal from being all over them. So a rough day at the office for Bob Dyson Company. And also, when you're down by 29 after two quarters, don't kick field goals. Just don't do it. They're not going to help you win at all. All right, let's get to the previews. And again, I have said before, but I'm starting or have started a column on Three Down Nation. It is best bets for the week. This week we did all four games. That's probably going to change as it goes along. But definitely check that out over on Three Down, and I post it all over my social media. Winnipeg taking on BC tonight. This was projected to be the West final, and neither team, I think, has really gotten off to the start that they would want. For Winnipeg, it's Zach Kolaros. He hasn't thrown a touchdown yet, and he's thrown three interceptions. Not the ratio that you would want. He has not looked comfortable at all in a couple of games. The throws have looked really off in these first couple of games, and that is something that is, I think, very concerning. The other real concern I have about Winnipeg, because I do think Kolaros will get it figured out, if he has time to. And he doesn't always, because this offensive line, with no Jamarcus Hargraves now, it's going to be a problem. Because this is absolutely an offensive line that has been exposed. Struggling with names today. Hardrick. This is why you don't do these shows tired, kids. But this offensive line, with no... I even have it written down. With no Jamarcus Hardrick, They have not been able to get this offense into any kind of a rhythm. They've allowed the third most sacks in the league through a couple of weeks. And again, it's only through a couple of weeks. But the quarterback hasn't been effective, and he hasn't had time to be effective. And those both a real bad combination from a Winnipeg standpoint. On the BC side, Vernon Adams does seem to have a real connection with Hollins and McInnes. Standback has kind of been looking to get back into his form, but they have just been spamming Hollins and McInnes for the most part. Hollins leads the league in targets coming into this week. Tied for the lead in receptions. McInnes did lead the league in yards until Philpott just blew right past that. They're attacking a defense that has allowed the second most points in the CFL, or second most big play, sorry, in the CFL. I have real concerns about what's going on in Winnipeg right now. And look, I have concerns about both. I said in the offseason, like, BC is my Grey Cup pick. I do worry that they lost more than people thought they did. And I do think they will be fine. I think Vernon Adams might be the most talented player in the Canadian Football League, at least of people who are playing right now. And I think they have a lot of talent all over the field, but there still are some, still have some issues. The thing is, Winnipeg has some big time issues right now, and I think BC exposes them this week. So BC's the underdog. I like the money line play on this one with BC. I saw this morning getting plus 130. Sign me up. We go to Saturday. It's Edmonton taking on Toronto. McLeod Bethel-Thompson playing his team, his former team, in the six, coming off of two tough losses at home. I made the joke in my column that Edmonton's been watching the Oilers too much because they think it's just three and not four quarters, because the fourth quarter has been rough for this team. I'm not going to go too in-depth on this. I do have a sneaky suspicion that Edmonton is better than we kind of give them credit for. And a tough fourth quarter against Saskatchewan, and then another tough fourth quarter in week number two. And now all of a sudden, we're starting to think like, oh, this it was against Montreal, sorry. A tough fourth quarter, week number two against Montreal. It's, this team doesn't know how to win. They're not it. They're 0-2. Chris Jones sucks, blah, 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 blah. Now, that last part can be true. Not the blah, 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 the Chris Jones part. And he's probably going to get fired because they play Toronto and Montreal. They're going to be 0-4 after signing a quarterback for $500,000 when you have another quarterback who people are chanting for sitting on the bench right there who helped you come out of a 9-game winning streak or losing streak, sorry. But I digress. I still think this is an okay football team. And I do wonder about Toronto's offense a little bit, just because like week one against BC, they came out and I don't think anyone was expecting that from Dukes. Now we saw BC's defense play okay against Calgary in week two. So that is a bit of a proof that maybe this is okay from a Toronto standpoint, but I do just wonder if maybe we're overrating what happened with Toronto a touch. And so I do worry that our perception of these two teams are kind of ships passing in the night. I am still going to go Toronto in this game. I'm definitely going with the under because I think this Toronto defense is remarkable. And I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on Edmonton coming out. So I would give all the credit to the Toronto Argonauts for winning this one. But I do think that this defense, which is really good, like really, really, really good. They're second in the league in sacks with six. And they've only played a game. So this defensive front is a problem. We will see, and I think we'll see that against Edmonton here on Saturday. And then Sunday, it is the Riders taking on the Ticats. If you don't know, I have a Rider-specific podcast. It's in the same feed. If you're watching, it's in the playlist down below. If you're listening, it's just in the same RSS feed. So you can get a full breakdown of this. But basically, Saskatchewan needs to stop beating themselves. The bad run game and the penalties are putting them behind the eight ball. If they're able to correct those, they should be winning these games a bit more easily. I think the Rider defense tightens up. I think they throw the ball a little bit more on first down, and I think that gives them the edge here against Hamilton. The one thing I will say on the Hamilton side of things, Bo Levi Mitchell has impressed me to start this season. And if you listened last year, if you listened to any of the preview stuff at all, you will know I thought he was cooked. I thought he was done. And even if these last 2 weeks are just the outlier and he comes back down to earth, I didn't think he had these 2 weeks in him anymore. I will be perfectly honest about that. And so credit to him for bouncing back the way he has and really showing up after what had to be a disappointing year last year. He's moving well. He's throwing the football well. He's been awesome. It's a shame the results haven't been there for Hamilton, but he has been really, really good to start this season. All right, that is going to do it for the show today. Again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, if you're looking for a bit more CFL, the Rider Happy Hour is available wherever you are consuming this. Fightin' Friday, I believe, is probably going to be pushed to a Fightin' Saturday. Just a lot going on here, including Manor Combat tonight at the Forest Heights Community Center. If you are watching this in time, it's on Friday night. Get your tickets at the door. 7 o'clock is when the show gets going. I'll be ring announcing for that. So things get pushed a little bit, but we will have fights to make coming out of the Tank Davis stuff and some wrestling talk on there as well. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media at Primetime Klein. This outro has been too long. I'll talk to you guys later. I am out.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.